as I begin, a few months ago, I saw this picture. Now, different things attract me. You know, it can be words you read. It can be, you know, a poster, a picture, a feeling, a smell, you know, be on the beach and the whole atmosphere. Well, this particular picture stopped me in my tracks. And you can say, what, stopped you walking? No, I was actually scrolling through my social media stuff, as we do. And this picture stopped me. I thought, oh, what's that about? So I had a read. And this is the picture. I'm sure it intrigues you too. A sandwich, a roll, part of it with a bite bitten out of it. The story goes on to say, an adoring wife revealed the reason she has taken a bite out of her husband's packed lunch every day for the last 41 years. Not the same sandwich, a new sandwich every day, but she takes a bite out of it. On occasion, she said, I would join my husband on the job site and have lunch with him. We shared that lunch together. He then shared that lunch tasted better when I share it with you. Lunch always tastes better when you share it with someone. Soon after that, while fixing his sandwich one night, ready for the morning, she took a bite out of it before packing up the lunch for the next day. She said that when her husband returned home, he mentioned, gruffly, someone had taken a bite out of his bread roll. I told him that since I couldn't join him for lunch, I took a bite so he knew I was joining him. I continue to do this to this day because when he sees the bite in the sandwich, it's telling you, I saw you, I joined you for lunch today, and I'm sure it was good. Wow, I just felt, I got goosebumps. I just felt, wow, what a beautiful wife to hear what her husband had said. Said, well, I'm going to tell him that I'm with you. So we asked you today to bring a sandwich because we want to tell you that we're with you. Now, I have a salami, tomato, avocado and lettuce sandwich. And I put it in a bag because I had to bring it in the car. And that's awesome. But being a girl, I thought, I'm going to take a bite. It's going to go all over my face. It's going to go all down my dress. And then it'll be like terrible. So ladies, I bought myself a Vegemite sandwich because it won't go everywhere. For those of you who don't live in Australia, you've probably heard of Vegemite. It just stays on the bread. So that way, yes, I'm going to be chewing in front of you because I want you to get your sandwiches right now. I want you to take a bite because I'm telling you I'm with you. You're telling me you're with me, but we're also being reminded that God is with us. I should have taken a smaller bite. Visual again, ladies. He reminds us that a cord of three strands is not easily broken. And it states in Ecclesiastes 4, 9 to 12. Two are better than one because they have a more satisfying return for their labor. For if either of them falls, the one will lift up his companion. But woe to him who is alone when he falls and does not have another to lift him up. And though one can overpower him, when one is alone, two can resist him. But a cord of three strands is not quickly broken. So think about it. Me, my friends, my husband, the second strand, God, the third strand. And with God, it is not easily broken. friendship bands, three strands. I want to be reminded that I've got God with me. I've got other women with me. May you be reminded by every time you take a bite of a sandwich from now on, it'll never be the same. You'll know that God is with you. You'll know that we are with you. Every time you make a plait in the hair or have a plait or a rope, see a rope, you'll know that God is with you. Says one, sad if you're by yourself and you fall down, who's going to pick you up? I've been there, done that. I've fallen down 13 flights of stairs. A flight of 13 stairs, not 13 flights. And no one was there to pick me up. I had bleeding knees and, you know, the bleeding hands when you put your hands out to protect yourself. But two, when you've got two, you can at least defend each other. Oh my goodness, but when you've got three, this unity, this teamwork, this synergy works to help each other, to benefit each other. You've probably heard of the word synergistic. They have staghorns which live on trees. They help, the staghorn helps the tree and the tree helps the staghorn. They're not parasites. They don't feed off each other and cause destruction and mayhem. No, they help each other. You know, they have drugs where you add one drug, but you add another drug and it actually gives you better pain relief or better effect, synergistic working together. That's the same, and God has designed it the same with humanity, with people, with us, that we would work as a team together. But with Jesus, oh, what powerful grace he gives us. With God, the combination is non-destructive. We can live in with eternity with God when we have him with us. When we are attacked by the enemy, he's there to defend us, even when we are weak. God's the third strand. He wants to partner with us. That's what I'm going to share on today. God with us, God partnering with us. But I want to remind you so much how awesome our God is. And I found this bag. Again, I see things and I went, wow, I found this bag. And it says, warning, the contents of this bag may be awesome. It just made me think, the contents of me. I'm not calling myself a bag, but okay. The contents of me may be awesome. The contents of you may be awesome. And it's not a maybe, because with God, we are awesome. That's how we've been made. You know, God totally wants us to know how we are. Then I found another bag. We're one in a melon. No, we're one in a million. We are the only ones that God has created us. Even if I have a twin sister, but we are still individual people, individual relationships with our God. God has designed us to be with him, to partner with him. Then I found one of these, you know, bracelets that you click on. It says, I love you. I want to remind myself that God loves me. I want to remind you that you are loved. You know, maybe I don't even know you, but I want to tell you now, you are loved because you are just like me. You are a woman who's seeking and searching and trying to do the best in the world, trying to love their God, trying to journey with him, trying to find their purpose in life. But God loves us. God loves you. I love you as another woman to another woman, or a man if you're listening. How awesome is our God? You know, God is so amazing, so awesome, that even when Mary, his mother, was going to have him as a baby, he told Joseph, you have to name him Emmanuel, God is with us. Even Jesus' name tells us God is with us. He just wants to tell us, I am with you. He wants to partner with us. God is both practical himself and spiritual. He's practical because why? He wants to partner with his people. God partnered with Mary so Jesus would come. God partnered with Noah and a boat so he would rescue people on the earth. Noah and his family, the animals. God partnered with Joseph, who, yes, he got kidnapped by his brothers and he was taken into servanthood, but he became a leader in Egypt when the famine was on. And so when Joseph's family came to find food, God had already partnered with him to prepare that he could provide for the family. God partnered with Moses and the plagues. God could have done all of it by himself. He could have just like he did, he partnered the Red Sea, he opened the Red Sea and he did everything. But Moses had to stand in front of the Red Sea, call upon the Lord, partner with him, and put his rod in the water so the waters would part. Do you know God started out always in a partnership with us? He created the world. Go back into Genesis. He cultivated life. He calls life forth. Do you know that Jesus continued that same message when he came on the earth? He said, I have come to bring you life and life to the full. It's the same message that God said in the Garden of Eden. I will call life forth. And he created us to work, to thrive, to cultivate, to fill the world, to multiply, to bring peace. Do you know that when God created even the animals in Genesis, he gave them to Adam to name? God could have named them. He's God. No, he wanted to partner with Adam, with man, and say, well, then you name them. You now cultivate the earth. You now multiply. He's a partner with us. He's a collaborator. But this partnership was destroyed, this agreement, this covenant, way back. And the story of Adam and Eve tells us what happened, that there was this destruction of this agreement. So God then sends his son to fix it once and for all, this new covenant, this new agreement, this new partnership with us. Christ, it says, is in full partnership with God. The Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost, three strands not easily broken. Christ seeks partnership with us. He calls us his heirs, his sons and daughters, but he seeks us, with us. He calls us. Jesus on the earth was forever trying to say, I'm with you. Are you with me? I'm calling you. We've talked about, even in the book of Acts, we become part of a body. We're not the full body. I might be a toenail. I might be an eyelash. But we're all part of a body. With together, we can do amazing things. We also, in the Eucharist, partake of his body. We eat and drink the body and blood. And we somehow spiritually be transformed by our God into him, with him. We share now with him. We share eternity with him. We share now in the work of Christ. He's given us the Holy Spirit, another partnership. And he said, you will do way more things. You will bring life and healing and renewal and feed my sheep. Because we're partnering. We can't do it in our own strength. We can't do it in our own power. In 1 Corinthians 3:9, it says, He who plants and he who waters are one. I planted, Apollo watered, but God was causing the growth. For we are God's fellow workers, his servants working together. You are God's cultivated field. We're called fellow workers with him. We can plant, we can toil the soil, we can try and cultivate, we can try and plant seeds and water. But it's only God who brings growth. And I sometimes think, you know, we all think because of the way the world values things, you know, we value people with more money. Why? Well, you can say we don't value them. No, but they're in the 400 or 100 list of Forbes, you know, wealthiest people. You don't write down the 100 list of the poorest people. We value things that God doesn't value. But in valuing, you know, you want good fruit. You want, when I work hard, it's going to eventuate to something. But God wants us to work diligently, but he brings the growth. And I've often thought, what happens if I work and work and work and work and there is no fruit? Habakkuk tells us exactly God's heart, the heart that God wants us to have. And it's Habakkuk 3:17. Though the fig tree does not blossom and there is no fruit on the vines, though the yield of the olive fails and the fields produce no food, though the flock is cut off from the fold and there are no cattle in the stalls, I can't show anything for all my hard work. There is no fruit. Yet I will choose to rejoice in the Lord. I will choose to shout in exultation in the victorious God of my salvation. The Lord God is my strength, my source of courage, my invincible army. The Lord is my strength. God then wouldn't want you to go, oh, well, I'm not doing it now. There's no fruit. No, he would say, rejoice, for you are in the place where you are, but I will look after you. Exult in God, your Saviour. God partners with us, and it's he who will sustain us. We might stumble and fall, but he will sustain us. He will pick us up. We have to be cautious, though, because there's, I'll call it the three T's. There's three areas where we don't often do well. And it's sometimes because we forget we're a strand of three. We forget God in our midst, God with us. We're only human, and you can use it as an excuse, but we need reminding. We actually need to have other women in our life to remind us, I am with you, but God is with you. When you are all alone, no, God is with you. The three T's are when you're tempted, when you're troubled, and when you're tired. When you're tempted, we all get tempted to say the wrong things, to gossip, to, you know, maybe hide a truth, to whatever it is. Grace can help us keep standing. God is faithful. He will not allow the temptation to be more than you can stand. But the plural, the you is actually plural. Because you're not by yourself. I can't stand this, Lord, but you're with me. Give me the strength. Give me the grace. When you are tempted, he will show you the good way out so that you can endure. Or maybe he sends you more enduring grace and power to persevere, to push through. When you're troubled, when you're anxious, when you're worried, God gives you the power to keep going. When you're hurt, because trouble doesn't mean I'm always anxious, but maybe I'm hurt. Maybe life's caused me unrelenting pain. and I can't change my situation and it's just getting so hard and I'm, you know, the sickness or the stress or the pain or the lack of money or the disease or whatever it is, look to Jesus. He's actually already there with you, but he wants an invitation to come closer, to give you more grace, to continue. And you want to be able to ask him to draw upon more of his sustaining power. Isaiah 41:10 says, "Do not fear anything, for I am with you." If you're going to remember any line at all, remember that line. Do not fear anything, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Be assured, I will help you. I will certainly take hold of you with my righteous right hand. God's sustaining grace helps us stand, also when we are tired. I've often heard, never make decisions when you're in any of those areas, when you're tempted, when you're troubled, or when you're tired, because you don't think straight. When you're tired, it's like, well, no one's around for me or no one can help me. But God can. Life can be exhausting, unrelentless at times. It requires energy, especially when we're trying to do the right thing. If I'm trying to persevere, think of a marathon runner. They train, but they also push themselves, but they also persevere. They also eat the right food. They actually eat more carbs so it can convert to sugar energy for themselves, for their body. They drink water. They hydrate themselves. So if I'm tired and I've got less energy, I'm not going to want to persevere as much. I'm going to go, I'll throw up my hands up in the air. It's too hard. I'm giving up. It's hard to do the right thing and not the easy thing sometimes. Where do you get your energy and power from? In 2 Corinthians 1:21, it says, "It is God who enables us, along with you, to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us and he has identified us as his own by placing the Holy Spirit in our hearts." If we just recognize or get to know, when I'm tired, I already have Emmanuel, Jesus, with me, but I already have the Holy Spirit living within me. He's already within me. I'm just like, I've got to take off the corkscrew and let him burst out to give me more energy and more vitalization and just grace, sustaining grace. God can help us if we call upon him, because the partnership is a two-way thing. God wants us to know, are you going to invite him in? We want to know, does God invite us? And he does. So we're going to conclude by ourselves reflecting on a passage. And this passage is beautiful. This passage is in Mark chapter 10, verses 46 to 52. And we're going to have a read. If you've got your Bibles, get them out. Have a read of yourself. But you might like to read and reflect upon it later. So it's Matthew chapter 10, starting at verse 46. "Then they came to Jericho, and as he was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar, Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting beside the road, as was his custom. When Bartimaeus heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to shout, saying, 'Jesus, son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me.' Many sternly rebuked him, telling him to keep still and be quiet. But he kept on shouting out all the more, 'Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me.' Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him.' So they called the blind man, telling him, "Take courage, get up, he is calling for you." Throwing his cloak aside, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And Jesus said, "What do you want me to do for you?" The blind man said to him, "Rabboni, my master, let me regain my sight." Jesus said to him, "Go, your faith and confident trust in my power has made you well." Immediately he regained his sight and began following Jesus on the road. What a beautiful story. But I want to go into it a little bit deeper. And then I want to pose a question to you. Jesus is going to leave Jericho, and Bartimaeus is sitting on the edge of the road on the outskirts of Jericho as people leave. Because, or I guess as people leave, as people come, wherever, you know, direction they're going in. But he's in a prime spot to ask for help. "Help, I need money. Help, I need food. I'm thirsty. Can you help me?" And Jesus is about to pass by, to go to wherever the next road place he's going to. And Bartimaeus, and it sounds like there's a crowd there as well, not just Bartimaeus, calls out, "Son of David, Messiah, have mercy on me." He's acknowledging Jesus as a king. He's the son of David, King David. He's telling him, "You're also the Messiah, the one that comes to save. So I'm asking you to save me right now. Have mercy on me." And all the crowd, basically, because he's probably one that's always called out for money or whatever help, they've basically also said, because Jesus was a very highly thought of leader, even if they didn't believe he was the Son of God or followed him as an apostle, that he was respected because of who he was and or what he stood for. And the crowd's telling him, "Be quiet, be quiet, be quiet." But he's not going to be quiet. He's going to ask this man, this Messiah, this king, to have mercy on him. And Jesus stops and hears that one voice. I bet you there's so many voices, but he hears that one voice. Do you know he hears us? He hears our one voice because he knows, he loves, he knows our situation. He's seen us sitting on the side of the road, calling out, maybe being quiet even, giving up. Maybe we've been on the tempted of the tired and troubled and, you know, given up. God sees. Anyway, Jesus stops, and the crowd then, instead of telling him to be quiet, go off. "You're in luck. Have courage. He's asked you to come forward." You know, it's like he's won the prize to go down, you know, and try and win the lotto, you know, spin the barrel, because he was in the crowd, but he's been picked out of the crowd. But Jesus, I want to tell you that he's picked out all of us out of the crowd, not just that one man, Bartimaeus. So Bartimaeus comes down, and then it's really weird, but Jesus says to him, "What do you want me to do for you?" Every time I read it, I laugh and go, "Jesus, were you having a bad day? Did you not know what he needed? He's blind. He needs help. If he's blind, then he can't work. He can't, you know, work properly in the marketplace or have you know, a job. He's stuck asking for other people's help and hoping on the mercy of them, their graciousness, their kindness, that they would give him something." But you know what? It struck me. Jesus knew what he wanted. Jesus knew what he needed. Jesus knew exactly what he needed to do right then and there. But he wanted to partner with Bartimaeus. He wanted Bartimaeus to be involved in what now God was going to do in his life. So he asked him, "What do you want?" So that's the question I'm going to ask each of us. And if you have a journal or even a piece of paper, I want you to write down, "What do you want me to do for you?" As if Jesus has come into the room and he's here right now in your lounge room, in If you're watching this on the train, he's sitting beside you on the train and he's saying, what do you want me to do for you? And he wants you to be honest. He wants you to answer him where you are right now. Not how you were, you know, 6 months ago or what you might be like in the future. Where are you right now? What do you want Jesus to do for you? Because he wants to partner with you. He wants to give you sustaining grace. He wants you to know that he is with you in your life, in your choices, in your decisions, in whatever is happening. He knows your situation. He knows if you're sitting on the side of the road begging, or he knows if you're in an opulent castle and doing okay. But he wants to know, what can I do for you? So I don't want you to put this aside. I want you to spend right now a few minutes being honest. No one can see it. You can hide it if you've got a bunch of people with you. Write down honestly. Because God already knows. He already sees your heart. Maybe you can write down what you need, but what you really desire, what your dreams are. Because, you know, he's put those dreams in your heart. They're not something you just thought of. He designed and created you from the beginning of time with your personality, with your gifts and attributes, and he wants you to dream the dreams of old. Because that's what Jesus did. He came, I've come to bring you life to the full. Go back to dreaming. Go back to exploring. Go back to see how awesome and amazing a person you are, how I created you to be. But I am with you. I am with you. Do you know that Bartimaeus could have lived with blindness still? Because maybe that wasn't what he wanted God to do. Maybe he could have said to Jesus, I've been wounded so badly. Maybe it's because of his blindness he was wounded badly, but I've been, you know, or I have to deal with his anger in me. I have to deal with this rejection. Lord, I want you to help me with this rejection. Because the blindness of eyes I can live with, but the rejection within me, within my spirit, I can't. Maybe I have to live with disappointment. God wants to deal with this stuff right now. No matter if you're young or old. And when we're older, we've often got more things hidden in our cupboard. Hidden away so nobody knows. God wants to deal with these things right now. What do you want him to do for you? Now, I know we often can have lists upon lists of things. So spend some time quietly praying and seeking what really comes into your heart first up. Write that down. Maybe it's involved with some other things. Write those down. Because God doesn't go, oh, we've already done one. Oh, that's enough. No. He's come to bring us life to the full. So he wants to bring us full life. He wants to bring us full freedom. He wants to fill us with himself. And to do that, we need to get out all the rot, all that, you know, dust out the cupboards, prepare a place for him to come and be with us. If you've never done this before, give it a go. It's not that hard. I'm sure when I asked you the question, things came to your mind of what God, if God was real even, if Jesus was here and he could perform anything for me, what he would do for you. So a sandwich is never going to be the same. Every time now we take a bite out of a bread roll or a sandwich, we're going to know God's with me. There's other women all around the world with me. And I need to connect in with them. To know that you're not by yourself is so important. And you need to share this with others. You need to tell them that they're not by themselves. Maybe you need to, next time we have a time with Rosemary, you invite them to come and have afternoon tea, morning tea with you in the room watching. Maybe you can't do that and you need to just send them the videos. Everyone needs to know God is with us. God loves us. He partners with us in our life here and now. Nothing's of acts by accident. It's all been predetermined and organized by God's love. You can say, oh, therefore, I don't have to do anything because everything is being arranged. No, God knows, though, what we're going to choose. God knows where our life is headed because he knows everything. But he's forever partnering, inviting, asking us to be with him because he's with us. Just think of his name, Emmanuel, God with us. Let us finish with a prayer. In the name of the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Lord God, how amazing that even the title of your name that you gave to Joseph and Mary on the earth told us that you're with us. You've always been with us. Your love chases us. Your love encompasses us. May we be open to seeing, hearing, and knowing this, not just only today, but every day for the rest of our lives. And Lord, if we can reach others and share with them, open the doors. Help us share with others that God is with them, that God will send sustaining grace to strengthen them in their life, to guide them, to show them, to help them. We thank you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.